I'm going to sit down first. You're going to laugh. Why? For those of you that know me, you're going to think Dallas is quite a funny guy. And those of you that don't know me, you're probably going to look at me and say, what a big dork. Because you're going to go, this guy is just a mess. And today is a day of mess. You know, if Dave would have told me what he was going to say, I could have been more prepared. You know, do you ever sit in that chair and you go, you know what, it's all cool, I'm going to make it. And then good old Dave opens his mouth. And it, what do you do besides you just say, all right, God, you're on and I'm not. So today we're continuing our series of The Renewed Mind. And as we do that today, I'm going to kind of tell you how my mind's been working and the things I've reckoned with. And then we're going to talk about King Solomon. And we're going to ultimately end up with, you know, the spiritual mindset versus the materialistic mindset. So today, as we do, week one was all about the truth. Something's wrong here. All right. Okay, something's still wrong. Okay, that's better. We're going to start with what the truth is versus deception. As we do that, that was week one. Week two is the me-centeredness versus God-centeredness. You know, whenever Dave talked about that whole me monster thing, you know, does that ever come true to you? You hear the message on Sunday, and then you walk out the door, and you hear yourself being that nasty me monster. It's really easy to see that in someone else. But then whenever you get the mirror and you look at yourself, you go, wow, maybe I'm that guy. But today, like I said, we're going to talk about the spiritual mindset versus the materialistic mindset. What I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of flashback. I'm going to flashback about 18 months. What I'm going to do, one, I'm going to tell you up front, today is going to be messy. And when I say messy, I mean I'm a mess. If you don't know what a mess is, you know, you never know how God's going to work. About 18 months ago, good old Dave, wherever he went, he come and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, hey, Dallas, won't you pray about it and consider being an elder at Freshwater? Me? Not me. You got the wrong guy at the wrong time. Pick something else. Dave did that, and it was, okay, I'll pray about it. You know, and that was the same week that my mom had her final stroke. And Dave's a great guy. On my way to the hospital, I knew it was done. And I had to go see Dave. I was a mess. I was a mess then, just like I'm a mess now. You know, and I thought, all right, I can do this because God's in control and I'm not. And ultimately, that was the last 3 days I had with her. Okay, God, I can reckon with this. After that, you know, you think, okay, I'm smooth sailing. If you don't know me, I'm also going to tell you about 18 months minus a week, got a pacemaker put in. You're like, what does that have to do with anything? You know, I was at my mom's service, graveside service. Great, I'm doing my best to praise God that she is in a much better place. And lo and behold, what do? If you know Dallas, you know, what does he do? He crashes and burns. And I don't mean just crashes and burns. I mean, I was dead on the ground. Like, she quit. I'm like, what is wrong? And we've walked through it a couple times, and, you know, the ambulance comes and hauls you away and blah, blah, and you're at the hospital. And then, you know, the doctor comes in and says, hey, by the way, sir, you know, I think you got some heart troubles. You might want to get a pacemaker. And I'm like, you got the wrong dude. The old man is next door. So I said, all right. He left. I'm like, all right, see, they got it figured out. It was just a fluke. I'm not feeling good. Too much stress. You know, and he brought back the team. When I say the team, you know, a couple doctors, a couple of nurses, they're all around you, and they say, now, sir, we're right, and you are not. And so you have to do a lot of reckoning. And whenever I do reckoning, you know, it's usually I'm pretty hard-headed. I don't know if any of you, if you know me, you know I'm pretty hard-headed. It's my way or the highway, and yeah, my wife of many years, she knows, and she's walked through me through all this, any mess, whether it be the heart mess or, you know, my mom's mess or even this mess. This is a great mess. It always turns out great when it's messy with me. I just don't like it. And that's where today's message is going to come in. You're going to hear three basic things from me today. As we go through Ecclesiastes 2, if you want to turn there. King Solomon, and we're going to see how King Solomon had to reckon with God is the same way that I've had to reckon with God because, you know, through, you know, about 3 years ago, I got the opportunity to quit going to work. I didn't have to go teach school anymore. I got the opportunity to stay home on the family farm. And whenever I did that, you know, I did. Pride can kick in pretty quick. You know what? I've made it. I've arrived. I don't have to go to work anymore like everybody else. I can stay home, do what I want, how I want. Okay, I lived a pretty prideful life for a while. And then God got involved, and when God got involved, and whenever I went down, and, you know, your pride kind of goes out the window. You know, when everybody at the service sees you laying on the ground and the nurse lady's there, you know, doing her thing to you, you know, pride's kind of out the window. And so that was one thing that was really hard for me to reckon with. But ultimately, I have a condition called bradycardia, which is a slow heart rate, which means they always ask me how great of an athlete are you? I'm like, I don't work out. I'm not an athlete. I don't run. I don't do nothing. And they go, well, people that are great athletes struggle with the same thing you do. And I'm like, okay, that makes me feel good. Okay, it makes me feel good. So I go through episodes of syncope every once in a while, and she fires. And whenever she fires, what it's doing is just keeping me alive for another day. Another day to thank God for what I've got and to truly know what he is in my life, in my family's life. And so today, as we get started in Ecclesiastes 2, I'm going to tell you a little bit about King Solomon and how it all works. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes late in his life, as he was reckoning back as much as life that he had lived without God as a part of it. The whole purpose of Ecclesiastes is pretty simple. Solomon was trying to write and share, you know, is to spare future generations the bitterness of learning through their own experiences that life is meaningless apart from God. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon explains what he tried, what he tasted, what he tested, and he ends Ecclesiastes with kind of the same thing. With all that he'd explored, it ended up being meaningless, useless, irrational, pointless, foolish, and even empty, because it was all without God. So what does this have to do with the message? Today, Solomon was the guy that we might consider who had it all. He had the intellect, he had the power, and he certainly had the wealth. But in verse 11, his summary was simple. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity, a striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So as we look at a materialistic mindset, I need some audience participation here. Definitions, what is materialism? Okay, there's not one hand, somebody. What is materialism? So we look at a materialistic mindset, what is materialism? Do I see a hand anywhere? Am I missing it? Hi, yes. Rather than what? Good. Somebody else? True. Amen. Isn't that the name of the game? So today I got a simple little demo. Everybody get out your wallet. I'm not going to take your money. Church ain't going to take your money. Get out your wallet or your credit card or your whatever you walk around with your little iPhone and your iPay or whatever it is. Okay, you look at it in your hand. Now, if you were to give that to your neighbor, whoever your neighbor would be, and your neighbor's going to give it back, so don't panic. Okay, but if you give that to your neighbor and they went through the list, said, I spent money on this and 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 this, are they going to say, what a good, God-centered person you are? Or would they might go, it looks like you're living in a world where you buy what you want, you do what you want, how you want it, okay? And it's all a matter of you. What do you want it to look like? So as you evaluate your wallet, or even you consider your person, whoever you're sitting next to, as you evaluate their wallet, is that what you really want it to look like? And so today, as I did that, you know, I came to church and I went, I don't even have my own wallet. At the home, in the truck, how dumb am I? I can't even use my own demo wallet up here. But somebody laughed. Okay. Anyway, like I said, you're either going to think I'm funny or a big dork, and so just take it as you wish. So as you take that wallet and you hold it in your hand, I think most days whenever I go do whatever I'm going to do, am I making the best choice for God? Am I making the best choice for my family? Am I making the best choice for me? And so that's one of the things that I have to reckon with as I do each and every decision that I do. Let me tell you the plan of the day. As we walk through the message today, I'm going to read the entire passage of Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11. Then I'm going to try to break it down verse by verse and kind of tell you what I understand about those verses. Then at the end, I'm going to give you some final thoughts. So today, as we break apart the passage, I'd like to describe three points that characterize a materialistic mindset versus a spiritual mindset. Number one, you're going to see Solomon's pride. You're going to see his pride and how rampant it was in the decisions he made, how he approached situations, how he approached life, how he approached what he wants other people to see in him. Number two, you're going to see his indulgence. Okay, as we each indulge in different things, but today you're kind of, hopefully you're going to see, you know, maybe Solomon overindulged. Okay, I'm not going to say it's bad to do some things, but indulgence to compensate for an emptiness that Solomon had without God. And even if I've made those decisions in life of indulgence whenever it would be easier to turn to God, but it's funner and makes me feel better to turn to my wallet. And then the last one is isolation. If you've never reckoned with God and lived in isolation, Solomon did. He ended up in that place, okay, that he seemed to have it all, like I said, but ultimately he ended up isolated, okay, with who? Himself and his toys. That's all he had left. So as we start, Solomon early in his life had recognized his need for godly wisdom. Unfortunately, Solomon still made decisions for his own satisfaction, joy, and temporary happiness. In today's words, it might be said that godly wisdom is only wisdom if you use it as knowledge, not as something you pull out of the suggestion box. An easy example is Solomon married Pharaoh's daughter for political reasons. Okay, Solomon got the freedom to do that. There were some problems with that. Number one, Solomon went against his father's last words because Solomon's pride kicked in. I can do as I desire, regardless of the counsel that I get. Solomon went against one of God's direct commands. It was disobedience and irreverence, but he wanted to live in isolation. God, you stay over there, and I'm going to stay over here. The last one is Solomon married hundreds of wives for political and material reasons and for his gain. Bit of indulgence. But let's read Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11. The vanity of self-indulgence. And it says, Solomon writes, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses. I planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and a treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as I get to stand up here this morning, I thank you for your word. Lord, as tough as it is, I thank you for working on me. Lord, I ask today that your word would be proclaimed and each of us would hear you. Lord, as hopefully you work on our hearts and we walked in one way and hopefully we can walk out closer to you. Lord, I ask that you would be with us as a church body to continue demonstrating you out in the world, but also within these walls. To those that are here today, Lord, that are struggling with whatever they're struggling with. But Lord, today we also ask that you would be with us to be children of you as we study your word, as we gain better understanding of who and what you desire for each one of us. Lord, I ask that you would be with me, that I would just speak the words and the nerves would pass away, Lord, and we can learn more about you. In your holy name, amen. So throughout this passage in these 11 verses that I read, Solomon used I or my 27 times. Remember the pride, indulgence, and the isolation? If Solomon starts these sentences with the word I did this, or my possessions, my toil, okay? It's very self-focused. Sure, it's nice to share with people. But Solomon, I think, had it twisted a little bit that he was the one that got to do these things, and he was reflecting on himself, on what I had done, rather than what God had blessed him with. Each characteristic is indicative of what I can do and what I have done. Living in a materialistic mindset leads to a lot of that me monster mentality that we talked about last week. It's all about me. Look at me. Look what I've got. Look what I can do. Look where I can go. Having a mindset of appreciation of God's blessing does not have a lot of my, mine, and I statements in it. But let's start in verse 1. Solomon writes, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. We see here that Solomon was so dissatisfied with life and the way he had experienced it that he decides to try pleasure of the flesh. He didn't like the way it felt, so he decided, I'm just going to make myself happy. And he, Solomon, like so many of us, looked for peace in all the wrong places. He had plenty of money, but this still didn't satisfy his hungry soul. Have you heard people say, you know, that great riches would make me happy? And when they acquired those great riches, they were still really unhappy. Let's go to verse 2. And I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? This speaks of laughing on the surface for Solomon, but his heart was crying, because laughter is temporary. God is the lasting part of life. Verse 3. I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. My heart still guiding me with wisdom, how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. Many people in our society today drink alcohol, take drugs to hide the realities of their life. They use, or they feel that for a moment, the deadening that they want will help them forget their sorrows. But it didn't work for Solomon, and it doesn't work for us. Solomon was trying to isolate himself and forget. But when the effects of the alcohol and drugs are gone, Solomon was even more depressed than when he ever began. This is what Solomon discovered. Let me tell you a reality. In my life, I meet lots of interesting people. Interesting people is a word. You know, here, we'll say a couple weeks ago, had some fine fellow show up on my doorstep I've known for a long time. The realities of life had set in. When I say the realities of life, he admitted, you know, that he was an alcoholic. He admitted that his wife told him she needed some space, you need to get out. And I'm like, God, why is he here when I'm not that guy for him? And so if you help people and you hold their hand and you let them cry on your shoulder, you learn a lot about them. He had done that to hide the realities of life, just like Solomon had. It was tough on him. It was really tough on me, okay? That's not something I take easily. You know, whenever God put something in front of me, I do my best to embrace it, but it's hard. It's hard emotionally on me to deal with that. And so as I've walked with him hand in hand for 10 days now, it's hard. I would encourage you to do that. Then when people see you take one step, okay, they may go, you know what, I can go to him because he loves me, he loves God. we can do this together. Because just like Solomon, he tried to drown out his sorrows, and this guy had truly tried to drown out his sorrows, and he ended up, you know, losing his job. His family had quit wanting to be around him. His wife had told him to skedaddle for a while, and so he's got, hopefully today, all I can say is hopefully, I don't know. We prayed together, we worked through it. Hopefully he's in church today. I know he's not here, but he made the decision to be with his wife, which I greatly encouraged him. You need people around you to support you, much like how much I appreciate this church family and what it's meant to me. So as you live your life, it's just one of them deals that you have to be prepared for. But that's the reality. Solomon overemphasized the human gratification that he could get and try to hide at the expense of God's glory and understanding his blessings. Verse 4, Solomon says, I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. Solomon's pride was evident. Even as we read the scripture today, we can understand how this pride was running wild. The accumulation of houses and vineyards will not help. Things do not bring peace, much like it didn't bring peace to Solomon. Peace and satisfaction are not brought on by outward influences. The heart of a man belongs to God. Those of you that know me and have been around me, you know, sometimes people show up at my house and they look around and they go, wow, you have got it all. God has it all. I'm a very blessed man. I have a very blessed family for what we have. If you don't know, I'm a farmer. To me, we have more than enough. We have more than enough land, more than enough houses, more than enough cows. Okay, when people say, wow, I know, they are looking at me, and I can feel instantly my pride kick in. And it's like, all right, down with the pride, out with God. Because God has blessed us with plenty. But I can't take the credit for that. Much like Solomon prayed for godly wisdom, and then got it messed up with human wisdom and what he was chasing. And for me, I got to make sure that my human wisdom does not overtake my godly wisdom. So today, and as you get to know me more and more, maybe you're going to be one of those people that show up on my doorstep and look around and say, wow, that is lots of green grass out there. Yeah, it is. And I thank God for every piece because I'm just the simple caretaker of all of God's resources in my life. And that's hard to reckon with. That was one of those things that I had to reckon with whenever, you know, I'm laying in the hospital, you know, the whole heart thing going on. I thought I had it all. I thought I had plenty of money, had plenty of resources, had a great family, had a great church family. But you kind of got to reckon with that. What's important to you? Is all this stuff important to me, or is following God more important? Verse 5, I made myself gardens and parks and planted them all kinds of fruit trees. Solomon loved his beautiful gardens. Okay, something's wrong again. See, you're laughing. You're learning. I'm kind of funny. I'm not a big dork, just kind of a dork. Okay, I don't know. If you can't hear me, somebody's going to have to come help me. Solomon loved his beautiful gardens, and the garden he had on the outskirts of Jerusalem was very well known. Even the beautiful gardens he had built did not bring the satisfaction he was looking for. Lots of physical land space was needed for Solomon to plant so many trees and plants. But just like for me, is the same thing for Solomon. How much is enough? Did Solomon have enough? Do you think Solomon had enough in his mindset? You can answer. It's okay. Yes, no, maybe. Solomon have enough stuff? All right, this is just annoying. Yes. What am I supposed to do, up here? See, thanks. See, that's what I need. I need somebody like that that's going to say, hey, dude, quit talking and do this. All right. Ooh, it feels much better. But back as we look in verse 5, how much was enough? As you look at Solomon, he looked, and for Solomon, there was never enough. He was never satisfied with what he could look at. And just like for you, are you ever satisfied with what you look at? As you go to your home today and you look around, are you satisfied with what you've got? Have you got enough space? Have you got enough money? Have you got enough? Is your TV big enough? All that kind of stuff. And those are the things that I reckon with and Solomon reckoned with? Verse 6, I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. At times, each of us finds it very soothing to live on the shores of a lake. Who wouldn't want to have a lake house? If you've got one, praise the Lord. I'd love to have one. That doesn't mean I'm going to get one. That doesn't mean it'd be a good godly decision, but it'd be nice. This was the thoughts of Solomon. Again, this did not cause him to be very satisfied. Verse 7. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had had before me in Jerusalem. These slaves are mentioned in the same verse as herds of cattle. For Solomon considered such human beings as mere property, not real people. Solomon needed this labor to tend and care for his possessions. This sounds good, to care for your possessions, but Solomon was not considered kind and loving to most of the common men in his life. I want to read some out of 1 Kings. It's going to kind of give you some perspective of how Queen Sheba looked at King Solomon, and it says, 1 Kings 10, 1 through 6, it says, Now when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind, and Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain from her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his officials and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered to the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. Her breath was taken away because she looked and went, wow, King Solomon has it going on. We know that, you know, the Queen of Sheba was very impressed with the fine things of the king's court. Verse 8, I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. Solomon, besides being the wisest king, was also the richest. I'll tell you about some of his riches here. It comes out of 1 Kings chapter 10 also. The king also made a great ivory throne and overlaid it with the finest gold. The throne had six steps, and the throne had a round top, and on each side of the seat were armrests and two lions standing beside the armrest. There 12 lions stood there, one on each end of the step of the six steps. The like of it was never made in any kingdom. All Solomon's drinking vessels were made of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. None were of silver. Silver was not considered as anything in the days of Solomon, for the king had fleets of ships of Tarshish at sea with the fleets of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the fleets of ships of Tarshish used to come, bring gold, silver, ivory, apes, peacocks. Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. Solomon tested his wealth on a level which none of us will ever attain. Scripture tells us that Solomon climbed these golden steps in order to reach his golden throne, to eat off his golden plates, and to drink from his golden vessels. Solomon's indulgence may have been at the end of verse 8, where it says, 700 wives and 300 concubines. This was his pleasure. It was not that of God or the people that he ruled. Let's go to 9. So I became great. It'd be hard to say. King Solomon was a pretty big guy to say, you know what, I became pretty great. And surpassed all were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Solomon's wealth, fame, and wisdom were known throughout the lands. All the world knew that Solomon's lust, extravagant living, selfish, and inhumane reign was a total disaster. And it ended up taking Solomon to the grave at an early age. Solomon wanted to know why people live in the world. Solomon's wisdom was not the end that he was seeking, but one of a means to an end. And what he calls his wisdom, it was not pure godly wisdom that comes from above. It was strictly earthly prudence and self-restraint in his decisions. Verse 10. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, and my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this is my reward for all my toil. Easy for King Solomon to say. Sometimes it may be easy for us to say. I worked hard. I made this money. I get to go spend it the way I want. Who can tell me different? Solomon was consistent in taking his reward or his portion. Solomon strived to fulfill every earthly desire that he could ever imagine. Everything Solomon tried appeared to prosper. Attaining worldly fame and fortune cannot and did not bring him true happiness. The search for fulfillment in life always should end with a searching for God and everlasting life. All other things do not satisfy. Verse 11. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. All of this is nothing. Solomon had it all. It looks like he had it all. But now he says he had nothing because it didn't satisfy his soul. All the things mentioned in this verse is no comparison at all to the satisfaction that knowing Jesus brings. Vanity for Solomon was the futility of the labor that he had expended. Wisdom is no guarantee that one will achieve satisfaction with earthly treasures. Using God's resources for human accomplishment ends that emptiness. Solomon realized that. As we looked in verse 1, Solomon started off with saying, it's all vanity. And as he said in verse 11, at the end of everything that he explained to us, it's all vanity. Solomon's vanity was that he thought that material possessions were all that he needed to see. He felt this because he didn't think of God. So today, what do you think? Did Solomon have enough gold, silver, money, land, property, vineyards, slaves, servants, houses, herds, flocks, to provide for a fulfilled life? Much like for you, do you have enough of these things? Do you wish you had more? Do you desire you had more? What does God say you need more? So today I'm going to ask, I love to ask questions, okay? What are you striving to achieve? We're all here today. What are we striving to achieve? You striving to get a closer relationship with the Lord? Are you striving to give a little to appease God? Say, you know what, I gave my tithe today. Thanks, God. Appreciate it. It's all good. So now I want you to evaluate, where do you place your time? Where do you place your energy? Where do you place your money? Is it something for you? Is that the purpose? I give this stuff to get this stuff? Is that the way you want to view how you live your life? And better yet, how you want to view God? You know, I'm not going to lie. I was that guy. If I do this, I get this much money. You know, today as I look, you know, I help lots of people. If you look at me today, you're going to think, wow, Dallas, your left eye, you must have had quite a party last night. No, I was trying to do the right thing for the right person, help this little old lady. You know, and Thursday morning, I woke up, it kind of itched. And then Thursday afternoon, it really hurt. And Friday, I went, something is not right. So, you know, have any of you ever been to the eye doctor? Surely, raise your hand. You know, what does this have to do with the message? Hopefully, it'll make sense here in a minute. You know, and she set me down, and she looked, and she says, sir, there's a piece of metal right there. Okay, that's great. Pull it out. She says, we can't pull it out. So she got out this little thing, I don't know where I was, this little thing, and she turned it on, and it went, and I'm like, that doesn't sound like a magnet. And she goes, no, we're not using a magnet, we're using a drill. Now, as I'm sitting there in that sweet little chair holding on and trying not to shake, I'm like, now, God, this ain't funny. This lady is going to drill in my eye. So, okay, so she drilled. And I went, okay. She goes, we ended, blah, blah, blah. She got it. She drilled it in little pieces and washed it out. She goes, you're going to have to come back tomorrow, which was yesterday. I'm like, why? She goes, oh, we're not done. I'm like, oh, great. Goody, goody. Thanks, God. Just what I need. God, don't you remember what I have to do Sunday morning? I can't be up here with this thing on my eye. Okay. So she did it again yesterday, and yesterday afternoon, man, did I want to call Dave and say, you know what, Dave, I just ain't going to do this. Can't do this. But I went, okay. So I strived, and I went to bed, all's well. So this morning, I woke up at 3 o'clock, which you're going to go, 3 o'clock? Well, I woke up because my eye was just about to kill me. So I'm in the bathroom poking and prodding and wiggling away. And I go, all right, what is Dave going to say if I send him a text at 3 o'clock in the morning saying Dallas is bailing on you? I went back to bed and I laid there. And as we pray today, I'm going to tell you kind of what I prayed. So as the band comes and we get ready to sing, I'm going to ask them a few questions. But I'm going to tell you, I laid in that bed looking up at the ceiling and I went, you know what, God? As much as I want to do this well, it is not my show. And it was true. It was hard to sit there and say, yeah, God, you're on. As much as I would like to give some great eloquent sermon, that's pretty much not the way I flow. Working on it, but I'm not that guy. So today, as I consider, do you ever have enough money? How come sometimes, I know for me, you can never have enough God? What's the difference? And I strive and say, you know what, if I only had more money, you ever think if I only had more God in my life? And so today as we kind of pray, I'm going to ask for 3 points, those 3 points that I talked about pride, indulgence, and isolation. You know, sometimes, and I don't know how your mind works, I'm going to tell you how my life works. You know, if I have pride going on, I can kind of balance that and recognize that and say, you know what, God, thank you. Help me deal with that. But whenever I've got two of them going on, I've got that pride going on, and I've got some sort of indulgence going on, it's a little hard. It's a little hard for me to do that. And much like for me, you know, as I was getting ready for today, you know, pride kicks in a little. That indulgence comes in a little. But the third one was isolation. Sometimes, you know, I live a very solitary life out there on the farm. Pretty much I can go all day and kiss my family in the morning, kiss them again at 3 o'clock. Sometimes don't see another human all day. It's kind of isolating. So today I would ask you to consider, you know, those three things. If pride is running rampant, you might want to reckon with God. And I'll tell you, I reckon with God on almost a daily basis. If you're living with some sort of indulgence, I'd encourage you to come up here with me and we'll pray together. And you don't have to tell me your story, but we can pray together. That's what we're here for. And if you're living in some sort of isolation that you're hiding from God or hiding from others, we would love to help you with that also. But ultimately, it's, you know, for you and God to work out. Do you look and act and feel like Solomon? I'm not going to say that I've got it all figured out, but I am going to say that I get in the way. But God makes it easy for me to see him, and it hurts. And a lot of times for me, it takes physical hurt. You know, whether hurt or who knows what, it takes physical hurt. But I see him. This is the renewing of my mind. As we're working on week 3 of this series, I'd ask you to evaluate and to think, is your mind right with God? But I'm going to be down here praying, and I would consider you coming and joining me in prayer, much like we started before I came up here today. Maybe you don't live a life of struggles with materialism, with that pride, isolation, and indulgence. Maybe you don't. I'm proud for you. There are some of us that walk that walk. If that's you, we'd love to pray to thank God for his wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great day. Lord, we love you. Lord, I love you. I know that with who and what I am, that I often get in your way. Lord, I ask that you would continually remind me you know, of what it's like to walk with you, what it's like to draw closer to you. And I ask that you would be with us as a church body, as we love one another, as we strive to follow your word, as hopefully each of us considers now the words of Solomon and his life, but also the words that we utter out of our mouths on a daily basis. Maybe it's, look what I've done. Look who I am. Look what I have. Lord, I ask that you would just renew each of our minds. As here in a minute, we're going to stand and sing. I just ask that you would be with us to consider, why do we do the things that we do in our great American world? Lord, thank you for the marvelous blessings within our life. You are great, and we are not. In your name.
Wanna be close, close to your